Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to be with you. Kevin Herr alongside radio and TV star extraordinaire.
How are you, Mr. Jones?
Doing good. Now, what, your TV thinks tonight?
Yes, actually. SECV8, I'll be along with Chris Johns calling the PHAC championship games, both the girls and the boys.
That's terrific.
You'll be able to catch that later on in the week on SECV8.
That is great. You'll do a great job. I know he and I had a long talk yesterday about it. One of those little, can I ask your advice?
Well, I figure, you know, I normally I would have taken the class if I would have gone to Penn State. I would have failed miserably, but I would have taken your class.
I was complimented you asked. But, you know, it's you'll do a terrific job.
And if not, I'll fake it. Because that's what I do just as well.
You'll do terrific. You'll be great. They're lucky to have you. They're lucky to have you, as far as I'm concerned. You know, should be doing more of that stuff. All right.
I figure I watch a lot of TV. I should be good. That should be good for basketball on TV. I watch a lot of TV.
Oh, it's not really a prerequisite.
Sorry.
Success in
sorry,
this
I didn't realize. Well, my mistake then.
I watched the movie Spectre last night. I don't think that's really a prelude to me being a secret agent.
That's what I'm just going to say. Does that make you a secret agent? I think you have a good shot.
I don't think I'm 008. Okay.
Steve Jones.
I watched a little Jim Bob Bond last night. So.
Didn't you see that in the theater, though?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet anywhere, so I might watch it this weekend. Jones. Steve Jones.
I watched it in Las Vegas. Everybody goes out, hey, let's go gamble. I'm going to go Spectre. Typical Steve Jones.
Yes, it is. Well, and Girardi went, we're going to the tables, man.
No, actually, Girardi did not, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no, and he went to the simulcast. Sorry, I forgot. Simulcast.
Nope. He had Karen with him. And I'm trying to think what they did that night. They took in a show. They took in a show that night, a Vegas show. And because he had thought, he said, you know, because they were thinking about going to see Spectre too. But no. All right. I just think it's funny.
You go to Steve Jones goes to Vegas. Oh, really? Did you have a lot of fun?
Yeah. You know, I walked around town, ended up
walking through an area where there was a national incident that made national news and saw Spectre. Oh, really? Did you see any shows? No, I didn't see any shows. Did you watch any of the light and water display shows at any of the hotels? No,
yes, I didn't.
Oh, I did. That's right. You did. I take that back. You did see that part.
That part is incorrect. I went over to the Bellagio. I saw the water show at the Bellagio.
All right. I stand corrected. I forgot you did.
Which is right before the awful act that... Well, I don't know. You can't call it an accident.
No. And I wasn't making fun light of that by any means. But
And then when we were at the Wynn, we sat at a table that overlooked the pond, and the light show that they had on the waterfall was unbelievable. So, yes, I did do that.
So at least you saw that.
I did do that.
All right. There's
now,
hope for you yet.
Not much. we'll put that as a glimmer. The Kevin Herr topics of the day.
TOD.
Matt, Matt Forte not getting re-signed with the Bears. Can't imagine him getting a ton of money anywhere, but where could he be a good fit? No offense, it doesn't move the needle.
That was not the top. Was that the top thing? That was not the top thing.
I want to get to the other stuff later because the other two topics are really good.
All right, because you made it sound like that was the thing I put on the list first, and I did not do that.
No, but I'm just trying to get rid of it now.
Done. Gone. See ya. Thanks for playing.
I'm trying to get rid of it now.
All right, moving on.
Here's the reason it doesn't move the needle. It just Matt Forte is a really good player, but he's not a superstar. He's not a game changer. He's not somebody. It's not. There are very few guys that move in the league that change the dynamics of the whole league, and he's not one of them.
I always felt that he could be, though, but he just never made it there.
No. Who? Where? There's no running backs like that. This is not a running back centric league anymore.
That's true, and he's not on a team that really runs the ball like history shows for them.
I mean, in other words, when the Browns drafted Trent Richardson, you're like, okay, third overall pick. I was like, okay, well, he's a good college back, but I thought, what a ridiculous pick. The NFL isn't built around these guys anymore. You have to have a good running game here and there, but did you notice in the Super Bowl how many 1,000-yard rushers there were in the Super Bowl?
No, I did not see that.
How about none? There were no 1,000.
Oh, you don't mean historically? Oh, okay. Sorry.
No.
I'm thinking
talking
historically.
About
you mean in that year. Game?
Yeah, this year, no 1,000-yard rushers. Let's go back to last year.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Marshawn Lynch was a 1,000-yard rusher, but the Patriots didn't have any. It's something that 1,000-yard rushers are happening now through pure durability, and the 16-game season has made all the difference in the world. In terms of getting guys to 1,000 yards. A good running game is always going to help. You can always build your passing game off a really good running game. But we don't have what you call many superstar running backs like Adrian Peterson in the game. I think he beat out Doug Martin of Tampa Bay for the title. If Doug Martin became a free agent, I'd be like, okay. I mean, DeMarco Murray left Dallas for Philadelphia. And the difference it made was what? He led the NFL in rushing last year. What was the difference he made in Philadelphia? Didn't make any difference.
You mentioned...
It's just... Running games are really important. Really, really important. But the days of the superstar running back appear on the surface to be fading oh so much.
You may mention a Marshawn Lynch. We either read or heard somewhere that he was contemplating retiring.
Yes, yeah.
That
and I get
surprised
Forte,
me.
By the way,
yeah,
right, yeah. So,
I mean, I'd ask him about it, but he's only there so he won't get fined.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, there's nobody that's going to get an interview with Marshawn Lynch to find out if he's going to retire.
Yeah.
But he would actually owe the Seahawks at least $2.5 million.
Well, that's his problem.
Well, I'm sure. And listen, I'm sure. Actually, it's a $5 million bonus that he would have to pay because the deal included a $7.5 million signing bonus. The cap hit was prorated over the 3 years of the contract. So,
of course it was.
He would have to take some of it back. I'm sure it's not going to, cause him too many problems. But
right. Okay, now that we got your Matt Forte thing out of the way.
Yeah.
And I talked about it longer than you thought I would.
Yes, you did.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Your other two topics on here are really, really good. Now, we still have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report today. Nate Cobbler on Penn State Lehigh Wrestling coming up tonight. We're number one. Number one plays number 14. What chance does number 14 have? How about zero? Okay.
Well, you don't say that to Cal last night.
Excuse me.
That was
basketball.
That's
college basketball.
I know.
Okay. College basketball. Here's the difference between right now men's basketball and college wrestling. In college wrestling, I believe one, maybe two teams have a chance to win the national championship, and all likely one. College basketball, there are about 20 right now that could win it. Women's basketball, there's only one team that has a chance to win the national championship. UConn. We went down and played South Carolina the other day. Here it is, undefeated number one, undefeated number two. And I said, they're going to crush this team. They're going to kill them. Right? Play the game, crushed them and killed them, moved on. And that's the way it is with Penn State wrestling right now. Penn State, number one, wrestles the third-ranked team in the country, the defending national champion, and it's not close. Okay, I didn't say they beat the 25th-ranked team. Okay, the 25th-ranked team has no chance against them, zero. 14 tonight has zero chance at winning. None. Now, for Penn State fans, that's ultra exciting. It's ultra exciting for Penn State fans. And I think there are some parts of it, especially the style that Penn State wrestles, that's really good for the sport. But I want to ask everybody out there, now let's take it from a different perspective. For those of you who love wrestling, was Iowa good for the sport? When Iowa was winning all those championships in a row, what was it, 14? Did you feel like Iowa was good for the sport?
Is it good to have one team winning everything all the time?
I mean, that's my, well, I'm asking that question. Got a lot of wrestling fans out there. They want to talk wrestling. All right, fine. Here's an in-depth wrestling question that goes beyond, do you think they can beat them? I mean, other than let's go the Simple Simon route. This is a little more in-depth. Okay? You are a Penn State fan. So to you, Penn State is awesome for the sport. Now let's look big picture. Was Iowa good for the sport? Now put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I think we're seeing something interesting, though, in that Penn State, Ohio State, I think Lehigh's really good. Okay? You know, Lehigh's 14th, they're really good, but still. There's more of an Eastern shift. I think that's good for the sport. Last year, they drew a record number on ESPN of 694,000 households. That's really good. And then for the entirety of the tournament, 1.3 million on tablet devices using ESPN3. That's really good. Those are record numbers. But the number one and number two metered markets, again, were, and this has been for the last 5 years, Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And they've alternated as to who was one. A couple of years, it's been Tulsa 1, Oklahoma City 2, then it's Oklahoma City 1, Tulsa 2.
You know, I think this proves kind of the point you're making here when you look at, here's your number one, it's Penn State at 13-0. Then you have Lehigh, number 6, at 12-1. Then you go down through, all right, you have Illinois, who's in the top 25, but they've lost 5. But because they're in the Big Ten, I guess you can consider them quality losses there. Then you get the Rutgers. They've lost 5. So
what,
they're in.
What's Michigan ranked?
Michigan right now is 9th. And okay, they've only Michigan had 2 losses.
Michigan beat Ohio State.
Okay? Right. And they've just leapfrogged Ohio State.
And guess what? Penn State crushed Michigan. It crushed them. Penn State wrestled Ohio State. Essentially, they crushed them.
But if you look down in this rankings, you have Rutgers, Cornell, Iowa State. Okay, there's a Midwest, Kent State, Minnesota, Virginia, Central Michigan, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Purdue, South Dakota State, and then somehow Bakersfield shows up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be any.
I'm not questioning the value of them being at 25.
Okay.
But how many of those teams? Go in Nebraska, go Nebraska, and then go west. How many of those teams are west of Nebraska? one in the top 25.
Well, here's a big problem for the sport. All right, overall.
It's an Eastern sport.
Well, it's Midwest.
Well, Eastern, Midwest. Midwest. Eastern. Yeah, Midwest.
The Big Ten is the only conference where all the participants in the conference wrestle. The only Power Five conference, I should say, the only Power Five conference where all the participants have wrestling. The SEC doesn't have it. They don't. I think the only SEC school that has wrestling, I think, is Missouri, and they're in the Mid-American Conference. The University of Texas does not have wrestling. USC doesn't, UCLA doesn't, Alabama doesn't, Tennessee doesn't, Georgia doesn't. I mean,
I think the only one that's missing in the top 25 right now in the Big Ten is Indiana. And they just dropped out.
Right.
But no, again, Wisconsin's the other one. Sorry, Wisconsin's the other one. I knew there was one more.
Right. And but Penn State is awesome to watch. Their style, the Penn State style of wrestling has a chance to make the sport a little more popular as time goes. Because they're a go-for-it, gung-ho type, action team. Need more action, less dancing bear. And that's and Penn State's incredible at that. Cale imparts that to all of his wrestlers. But they're not going to lose this year. And they're not, you know, unless they get injuries. And they're going to win. They might have the national championship wrapped up points-wise by Friday night this year. Okay, now, they didn't win last year, so that would put them back in the podium. But what if they go out and they run off four in a row here, which would be, for Penn State, awesome, incredible. But is it good overall for the sport? So, I mean, and I'm only asking that. Again, put yourself now in your shoes as a wrestling fan. I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever. 10 years ago, right? Did you think Iowa was good for the sport? And Dan Gable, every bit as legendary as Cale Sanderson on the mat, now as a coach. May I go to Carver Hawkeye Arena? Dan Gable has a statue outside of Carver Hawkeye Arena. Saw it just last week, 2 weeks ago. But as a wrestling fan, when Iowa was going through it, did you think Iowa was good for the sport? Now, maybe you did think it was good for the sport because it was great to see if somebody could knock them off their perch.
Didn't happen much.
But I'm saying, and thus a victory over them was even more meaningful, more exciting. You know, when they finally knocked them down a peg. And at the same time, let's look at men's college basketball. There is no true number one. And is widespread parity good for the sport? Where there is not a dominant team. Is that good for the sport? Or is it really good when, like, okay, somebody's got to knock Kentucky off. Oh, look, they knocked Kentucky off. Great. So those are two interesting questions from a fan perspective. Was Iowa great for the sport of wrestling when they won almost every single year? Conversely, men's college basketball this year does not have a true number one. Is parity good, or is that making you say, killing your interest? Because there's nobody out there that's dominant. 800-795-9565 is the number. If you want to jump in, I'd like to hear what people think about that, because I just think they're two legitimate questions that deal with the interest in a sport. Now, if you love wrestling, you're going to love wrestling no matter what. If you love basketball, you're going to love basketball no matter what. But you have two completely different dynamics this year. And college wrestling is a lot like women's basketball right now. There's one team and really one team only. And in men's basketball, you can't even tell. Nobody even knows who the number one overall seed is. And it's jumbled. is jumbled good or bad for a sport?
Well, it's like I said, last night I thought was a great example with, you know, Cal handling Oregon in the Pac-12. Oh,
did you see Walton last night?
Yeah, with the bear hat on? That was great.
No, with the glockenspiel.
Well, yeah, but he also had the bear hat on. He kept calling it a beaver hat.
Dick and I laugh all the time about him. Look, sports is infotainment. It's your job to deliver good, rock-solid information and deliver opinions backed up by experience and inside information that you have. But you also have to be fun, too, as you go through it. So that's why we call it infotainment. That's what we try to do with this show. We try to be really informative and take you inside a couple of places and give you perspective on a couple of places that you haven't been to before, but try and be entertaining about it. That's where Kevin comes in, the entertaining part. He doesn't think I'm fun at all. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go out and get the beverages now. It's cold. Really cold out. So stock up ASAP. And whatever you can do in that regard, that'd be great. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors keywords 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. And the time now for this day in sports history. Bill Russell on this day, 1960, 41 rebounds in a game. He followed up the next night with 42. Wayne Gretzky, 1984, season point number 153, setting an NHL record, breaking Phil Esposito's old mark. And the NBA All-Star Game, the last from Michael Jordan on this date as a member of the Washington Wizards. That is this day in sports history. There's nothing in there about Shikalimi.
Well, I could give you a couple of good dates there, but not for a while. It's later in the year.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Well, I also should have mentioned that Cale Yarborough went into the World Racing Hall of Fame on this day. Of course, he had that great fight with Donnie Allison. Great stuff.
That was good. That was on the first televised Daytona 500, wasn't it?
1979 Daytona 500. Absolutely.
I think it was the first live televised Daytona 500 on CBS.
On CBS.
It's like they called it the first water cooler moment in Daytona 500 history. The next morning, like, did you see those two guys fight? All right. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevo, you probably have a lot of Steeler questions.
You have no idea how many questions I have.
Yeah, I don't mean about life. I mean, I'm talking, this is sports.
Well, that too.
Tony, welcome. Sidney Crosby, before they got shut out by the Rangers 3-0 the other night, he had scored a goal in seven straight games. Is it Mike Sullivan being the new coach that's helped with the system? What's it meant?
You know, I think that certainly helped him out. There's no question about that. I think, you know, I think the way that that the team has been playing since Sullivan took over has a lot to do with the added offense. You know, I think there is certainly some blame to be placed on Crosby for how he played early in the season as well. Whether it was a, you know, I don't want to say it was a lack of effort or a tanking under the, Mike Johnston, but clearly things weren't clicking. And when you're not on the same page, when things aren't clicking, when you're not feeling confident, or when you're not feeling mentally strong, you know, your numbers often go down. So I think it's a combination of all those things. Plus, I also think just the, you know, the, Crosby probably wasn't on the top of his game as well. So you add in those three things and I think that's why, you know, you get the results that you've had with seven straight games with goals, 11 straight games where he had points. He's only had three longer scoring streaks in his career, Steve. So Sidney Crosby, up until that Rangers game, you know, was really playing some of the best hockey, some of the best regular season hockey of his career for the past month or so.
Any indication when Malkin might be back?
No, it's so hard to get a read on these hockey coaches. I mean,
it's an upper body, lower body. I mean,
that's it. Yeah, and, you know, and they look right at you, and they look right at the camera, and tell you that you know, they have no idea, but it shouldn't be long. And you know, they'll say that for 2 days, they'll say it for 2 weeks. You know, again, it sort of does have the feeling that it is any day now, whether it's another couple of games or not. Certainly, he can't get back soon enough. But impressively enough, before that Ranger game, they were playing fairly well, at least scoring fairly well. Without Malkin. So I think the system does have at least something to do with the fact that they're scoring more points, certainly.
Why hasn't Phil Kessel been able to take off?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, his numbers have increased a little bit as the team has started to score around him. You know, Chris Letang is playing better hockey. That's going to help the guys around him as well. But Kessel has not given them, you know, other than the first couple of games of the season, to be honest with you, Kessel has just not given them what they thought he would. He's putting up fine numbers, you know, decent numbers. But, you know, even as the team has taken off, Kessel just hasn't found that mesh now. You know, whether it's a matter, you know, of the line shuffles, they do have a lot of injuries on the lower couple of lines, and there's a lot of AHL caliber players playing there. Maybe when they get a couple of guys back, you know, Kessel will find that spark, but he certainly hasn't given them what they thought they were going to get. You know, these are the kind of numbers that, frankly, Patrick Hornquist has given them in the past. Chris Kunitz, Pascual Dupuis, he's putting up those kind of numbers, certainly not Phil Kessel type numbers. So it was a gamble that they took getting him. You know, at the end of the day, if he starts to score in the spring, then I guess we'll forget about, you know, what happened during the regular season. But that's certainly, you know, that's going to have to happen in order for this thing to, you know, to be deemed successful.
Marc-Andre Fleury, at least until the last week or so, I don't remember him having a better regular season. Do you?
No, I don't. And, you know, it's kind of gone in a couple different cycles. The reason they were winning the first month of the season was practically all because of Marc-Andre Fleury. He was absolutely outstanding. As his play kind of leveled off and came back down to earth a little bit, you know, the wind stopped coming. And then after the system changed, his numbers are a little bit different because they are taking more risks and they are, you know, playing a more up and down style. So he's seeing a lot more shots. He's seeing a lot more, you know, 2-on-1 odd man type breaks. But his play has been very, very solid, you know, in spite of that. So even though the numbers have changed, his performance hasn't. And I would agree. I think he is really, you know, you can probably go back to the goaltending coach change about 2 years ago, where after the playoffs, it looked like Fleury's career in Pittsburgh could be on the rocks. Looked like it could possibly be over. He lost his job in the spring in the playoffs, and since then he has been a different goaltender. His confidence is completely different. He doesn't change off the ice. He's the same happy-go-lucky guy, but his play certainly has changed. And I think, you know, I would have to agree with you. He's playing the best hockey of his career. And when you can say that about two guys, you know, maybe this team can make a run. We'll see, Steve. But that game against the Rangers last night, or I'm sorry, two nights ago, does kind of bring back memories of how they faltered in the past. It was very, very reminiscent of their last two playoff exits.
Pitt will be playing North Carolina Sunday. In fact, it will be a game you can see on WHVL-TV Sunday here locally. Obviously, North Carolina, Virginia, Miami, Florida, Louisville, really, really good. I think Notre Dame's really good. How do people feel about the fact that Pitt is a middle-of-the-pack team in this conference right now?
Well, you know, Pitt fans aren't used to that. You know, for so long under Jamie Dixon, about 10 years or so, they were an upper echelon team in the Big East. They played in the finals, you know, so many years in a row, won a couple of conference championships in the regular season and in the postseason, and that just has not translated to the ACC whatsoever. Middle of the pack is the perfect way to define them. They're beating the teams at the bottom, and they're losing to every ranked team they play. They haven't beat a ranked team yet. You know, they're 6-5 right now, and you hate to look at a game in Chapel Hill and say, well, that's a must win, but they've got to pick up a big win, a win over a superior team somewhere along the line. And, you know, they're running out of time. It looked like maybe they were going to do that at Miami. A last second tip in prevented that. And, this is a team that is just not the kind of upper echelon team that Pitt fans are used to. Jamie Dixon is certainly trying different things, Steve. He's playing different styles of basketball than he has 5 or 6 years ago. He's, you know, shuffling his defenses, different zone defenses, and even mentioning any zone defense on a Jamie Dixon team 5 or 6 years ago would have been crazy. But he's trying different styles, trying to make this thing work, and they just cannot get over the hump. And they really haven't since they joined the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, they're 11-1. Outside of the conference, they're 6-5 in, which is fine. It's respectable, but I think, you know, the pedigree tells you expect a little bit more when you get into this thing. That 11-1, of course, the game with Gonzaga in Japan is not on the books. I mean, because they only played a half, but you know, that's the part that I think is hard for people to get used to. They're seeing some really good teams come in, but they're not beating some of them.
No, you know, they're not. And again, that 11-1 needs to be taken in context too. And of course, it's not Pitt's fault that the Gonzaga game was canceled.
Right.
You know, they did schedule it and they did play it, but, you know, it's just, they really haven't beaten anybody. Even in the out-of-conference schedule, you know, the two teams they had there that would have been good wins had they been victorious were, you know, Purdue at home, and they lost by 15 points,
right.
And Gonzaga, and again, we talked about how that game got canceled, so they just don't have the types of wins that they're used to having. That schedule was put together probably because Dixon didn't know exactly what he had this year, and he wanted to pick up some non-conference wins. Well, that's all fine and good, you know, but the Pitt fans are used to teams that can play, and quite frankly, that non-conference schedule, fans aren't going out for it anymore.
Right.
You know, if you don't have two or three good home games, yeah, they're not going to go watch you against the Western Carolinas.
That's a really good point about that. Well, my advice is very simple. Pack it in and take the gamble and make the bet as they shoot threes, because they can't shoot threes. I mean, they're only 26%. North Carolina is shooting the three in conference play.
Well, you know, Pitt usually, again, they usually have a game or two where they do play very well. They're certainly capable of beating these teams. We just have not seen it yet this year. People talk about maybe they're inconsistent. No, I think they're pretty consistent. I think they are exactly what, you know, what they are. What that conference record shows to me is exactly what this Pitt team has been. You know, it's just going to be very interesting to see how they finish. They fell apart last year at the finish. We'll see if they can maintain this year. They're going to have to pick up some wins if they want to be in the field of 66.
Hey,
67,
thanks.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, 68, 120, some.
I can't count that high anymore. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm lucky I know they're telling me to leave because they have to hit signal me. You're done. Hey, Tony.
Exactly.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Oh, and you need to stock up for the weekend. Snacks, soda, water,
They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love the dills. Great stuff. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Where yesterday here in the Sunbury Motors studio, we had with us Scott Radisic, who is, of course, going to be the key component in what to do with Penn State facilities over the next 10 years, and in particular the key component when it comes to what they're going to do with Beaver Stadium. And that is going to be the hottest topic of the summer, I think, when it's all said and done. I mean, it affects you, the fan. That's why it's so important. Penn State wrestles Lehigh tonight. Nate Cobbler, Saturday Daily Times, coming up next half hour to preview Penn State and Lehigh in wrestling. Penn State should win in another route tonight. The number ones are the number ones. They just go out and they just get their job done, and they get a lot of bonus points along the way. I head to Nebraska tonight. Nittany Lion basketball team takes on Nebraska tomorrow night. Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln. Tip-off is set for 6 tomorrow night. In Lincoln, Nebraska, Siobhan Shields probably no better than a game-time call. We don't think he's going to play after that horrific fall he took last week against Rutgers. He is, all the tests on him negative, but he's been in concussion protocol all week. So that is something to at least, you know, file away. That's a chunk of scoring out of the lineup. You're talking about 16, 17 points a game out of the lineup. Penn State's had a week off. They should be refreshed from it, but they need to, again, enjoy prosperity. You need to go out. They beat Northwestern. Well, then you come back home. You need to win the next game. You play Minnesota. You beat them. You rally. Then you play Michigan State. You don't play very well. You beat Northwestern, you come back against Wisconsin, and for the first time in years, you match up really well with Wisconsin, and you're at home and you don't beat them. Well, they've got to take this game, they've got to now start building something here down the stretch. I think getting Josh Reeves back has really helped. Kevin had a couple of really good items on there that we're going to get to in the show, including LSU, the budget, mentioning, you know, people are wondering, LSU football, they might not be able to play because of the Louisiana State budget.
Great item you put on there. That's a scary thought.
Well, I don't understand why LSU football would be under the microscope. It would be more like LSU soccer, field hockey, things like that. LSU football can support itself.
Well, that's what I thought too. But you know, you look at the political side, the bigger picture for them for that situation. There may be students that actually have to take an incomplete because they won't be able to finish if they have the issues that, you know, they say the financial issues that the state university says it's going to have.
Well, this is where you start dangling the emotion of LSU football to try and make something happen.
See, that's what I thought was going on, too.
And, you know, this is, you know, look, this is, it's February. It's all part of a political play. I hate political plays. Look, just get the job done. Right? Don't play games. Just get the job done. Games are for sports. That's why when I watch the political race being covered, I can't stand watching the coverage of politics. It's because it's all like it's a sport. Oh, he landed a blow. For goodness sakes, just tell me what you're going to do and I'll be smart enough to make up my own mind. Now, we also live in a country that's very scary right now in that we talk about making up your own mind and so forth. Where 72% of the people polled recently thought Alexander Hamilton was a president. Now, that part does scare the hell out of me. Okay.
Yeah, understandable.
Okay. I mean, 72% of people polled think Alexander Hamilton was president.
Well, he's got his name. Isn't he on money? I mean, aren't all presidents on money?
He's on the $10 bill. He was the Secretary of the Treasury, and then he got into a duel with Aaron Burr, and Aaron Burr killed him. All right, now he's a play on Broadway.
LSU, by the way, fifth in most profitable football program. Total revenue, $68 million. Total expenses, $24 million. They actually made $44 million.
Well, Penn State makes over 30.
So I mean, that's you're going to take away a revenue maker?
Again, that's the value of football and men's basketball. Right? I know people love their individual sports. They love them. I know a lot of people here saying, you know, we're a wrestling school. Guess what? Okay, football and men's basketball pays for things. You're allowed to have 31 sports by having profitable football and men's basketball, a profitable wrestling program, of which there are literally none in the country. There are not any, which doesn't matter. I could care less if there are. You're just trying to make sure you sustain what you have there because you'll get a little bit of payback from the other two sports. Socialism works in sports. In sports.